Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby, sticky seeds with 50 as in popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey everybody, here we are once again on a cold Tuesday night in Los Angeles, and everybody came into the UCB Theater to not have to stand out in line out in front of the theater waiting for the Comedy Death Ray show, which is very popular on Tuesday nights. And I Shanghai that audience for my podcast, I Love Movies. But it's always pretty entertaining, right, to watch before Death Ray. And then tonight is how many people are staying for UCB Sketch or CDR Sketch? I said it wrong. I fucked it up. CDR Sketch starts tonight, and that's more of a experimental like sketch show that's going to be after Death Ray every Tuesday at the UCB Theater. So if you're in town, if you live here or you're visiting, come check it out. And I went to see Heart Milk. I almost called it Harvey Milk, which would probably be, I don't know, that'd probably be a better title for it than just Milk. Because, you know, there's going to be an occasional child or fat person that wonders where their cookies are. And but I think it's fun. For me, this is how I entertain myself. When I bought my ticket for Milk, I asked at the box office, I asked for a ticket to MILF. And those people at the box office, they're amazing, those people. They, box office people, they don't bat an eye when you mispronounce the name of the movie. I'd like one for Benji Button, please. And they just give it to you. They don't care. And recently, Patton Oswalt, my good friend, wrote to me via email, or maybe it was Twitter, I don't remember. And he said... it was an email because Twitter is public. He said, here's a joke you should use that I'll, he says, I'll never use it. And he essentially gave it to me, but I feel weird saying it and acting like it's mine when Patton's the one who came up with it. So tonight I'm going to give Patton full credit, and then henceforth, whenever I say it, I will not mention him. So only comedy nerds will be privy to the fact that it wasn't written by me. But I saw The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, and just a little ways into it, I was like, I'm getting too young for this shit. Thank you, Patton. Let's bring out our guests, shall we, for an exciting, spirited round of movie chat. this first gentleman, you probably know because he is one of the co-founders of the Comedy Death Ray here at the UCB Theater every Tuesday night. Please welcome Scott Aukerman, everybody. He's not just,
hello, Doug.
Not just an impresario, not just a show, what do you call it? Not runner,
faggot.
But show faggot? Yeah, he's not just a show faggot. He's also a comedian. And speaking of show faggots, no, doesn't make any sense at all.
Makes a little bit of sense.
My other guest tonight, you were both on the in separate episodes, I believe, in the earlier season of I Love Movies, and he's back because I love him. I just want to put him in my pocket and walk around. You know him from...
That would explain your tiny boner.
Hold me closer, tiny. All right. You know him from such amazing motion pictures as Pulse and Not Another Teen Movie. and the actually amazing TV show Freaks and Geeks. Ladies and gentlemen, Sam Levine is here. Oh, look at that. Comes out with the hero hands.
Yeah. Is that what you call that?
After that introduction, how could I not?
I call it the hero hands.
The best intro ever.
You're like the guy who invented the Hulk hands. You invented hero hands. Should you describe those for the podcast?
Hulk listener? Hands are those giant green hands?
Not the Hulk hands, the hero hands. He came out.
What?
He came out with his.
Oh, yeah, he came out
his,
clasped hands. I think everyone would know shaking, hero hands if they heard it.
Shaking them waist high.
He walked out
waist
with.
Waist high?
No, they were over his head.
My
way
waist.
Above my head. How dare you? How dare you, Will Chamberlain?
Anyway, everything he does is over my head, but I don't think that doesn't make much sense, but I still said it. There's no take backs on this podcast. No edits.
Happy New Year! Doug?
Are you? Oh, okay, me.
Yes,
I thought you were suggesting to the listener to go ahead and go to sleep.
Yes.
Let's have a nappy New Year. Let's all retire and listen to the podcast in our sleep.
Sam, what I do.
Sam, what do you got in the can? What's coming out?
All right.
Motion picture wise.
Well, I'm working on a film right now. In Berlin, called Inglorious Bastards.
You're in
now,
Berlin right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, don't. Yeah, Scott
you're
jumped on that.
A movie
but
that
but
has
I think
not
I concur. Why do you think you're in Berlin right now?
That is Doug. That is what we call movie speak. When actors are back and forth from a city, they're like, "I'm not
this
really here."
This production is so fancy.
It's so fancy.
They fly you back and forth.
Yes.
Or they're so irritated with you being on the set that they say, "Here's a plane ticket. We'll see you when we shoot your scene where you get killed."
They're irritated with my movie speak because I'm like, "Who's? Where are we lensing this pic?"
And it's the new. Tell me if I pronounced this right. Tarantino. Tarantino.
Tarantino.
It's his new movie.
Quentin Tarantino.
And it's called Inglorious Bastards.
And it stars Benjamin Button.
Bastards. And it stars Benjamin Button. But he stays the same age throughout?
He remains the same age
throughout
this film.
Actually, I think he ages gradually. Like one day at a time.
So it's he's in AA? I saw him on Oprah recently, and he has the Inglorious Bastards mustache that he just wears publicly, but never says the words, "This is a mustache for a movie I'm working on." It just looks like he's wearing a weird mustache.
I believe he said it on the Charlie Rose show.
Oh, he did. Well, they get more in depth there.
They do. They do.
Oprah never asks, "What's with the facial hair?"
Right.
Charlie Rose will get up in your shit about stuff like that.
Well, remember when he made himself look like he was, you know, 11 and he was doing press for the last movie? That was really
a heady joke.
I was going with the Benjamin Button.
Yeah, he didn't come out as an 11-year-old.
Did not work. Did not work.
But my point is...
He came out in a little short shorts and a little whirly hat.
A whirly hat? And he did
I'm Benjamin Buttons.
He did the hero hands.
Yeah. Whirly hat, hero hand.
But I, when I saw him on Oprah, I was like, forget about the Curious Case of Benjamin Button. What's with the mysterious mustache?
Pedophile-like mustache, yeah.
Yeah, it's a weird mustache.
Yeah.
So what do you play in the, can you tell us what you play in the movie?
I play PFC Hirschberg. That's Private First Class for you non-military folks.
Which is
listening.
All of us.
Not anyone in the room. Clearly you guys are all hip.
Which is every one of us. We're all non-military.
Okay.
Non-coms?
Yeah, non-coms. I play a Jewish-American soldier. Big stretch there.
Well, certainly the soldier part. Would they even would they even let you in?
Did it sound not real when I said big stretch? Did it sound sarcastic?
You're more likely to get on a ride at Magic Mountain than in the Army, I would think.
Look, man. Wow, you are a tickled pink with that joke.
Oh, God damn it. I enjoy it because the too tall to get on the ride thing is so hacky, and yet I still said it with such aplomb.
Do you give Jimmy Pardo this amount of crap?
I threw it out there. Jimmy Pardo is a good half a head taller than you.
Jimmy Pardo is a good half a head shorter than I.
No!
Well, all right. 1 inch, if that. But
he's
still,
1 inch shorter than you?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
We have photos to prove this.
You guys carry it differently. Have you ever worked with Rhea Perlman? Shit. How does she measure up? Oh,
someone
shit. People
is
are
big
leaving.
Rhea Perlman fan
are
over
leaving.
There. Big Rhea Perlman fan.
Oh, no.
Yep.
We lose him like
she's
that.
She's bad-mouthed, Carla. I'm out.
One riff at a time, fellas. It's okay. So, do you have any questions about his Quentin Tarantino movie?
I hear the script was rife with spelling errors. Is that correct?
It was, because Quentin typed it up on a typewriter. Like, that's the original draft from, like, 10 years ago.
Oh, 10 years ago.
10
okay.
years ago.
Before computers.
Before computers.
I was getting all frustrated. I hate people that, like, I'm going to write it on a typewriter. Like, fuck you. Just use a goddamn computer.
Are you talking to me right now?
Yeah, yeah. Because I know you do that every day.
I used to type on a typewriter.
You think you're, what's his name? What's the guy, who is the guy that at the end of every one of his shows, he's typing and then it comes out?
Stephen J. Cannell.
That's the one. Riptide. Have you ever been on a Stephen J. Cannell show?
I don't think so.
You don't think so? That's a firm grasp
you
of your own
so.
Career. Have you ever been on? Have you ever been on in a Norman Lear show?
No. Wait, maybe. No.
No. Okay.
No.
I'll think of some more and I'll get back to you.
Right. You know, there's not a lot of questions about my career coming.
Let's
this
do
way,
it.
You know.
Yes, Scott. Let's talk more.
What
about
do you,
you
play in Inglourious Basterds?
Watcher. maybe.
Do you have any movies coming out?
No.
Roles in movies?
No. No. Nothing.
Should we talk about how you were Michael Caine's stunt double in Austin Powers?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Let's talk about that. It wasn't stunt double.
It was just double.
Butt double.
It was just about how amazingly similar you look to him.
I like to call it...
When your back is to camera.
Yes.
And he's in the Bahamas.
The strangest audition I ever had where basically I came in and thought I was playing the young Michael Caine, as in I would be doing scenes, and I met Mike Myers... And he basically just asked me to turn around and went, yep, that's great.
We're going to see a few more people, but we like what you did with it. It wasn't bad.
But and, now
did you have the voice all ready to go? Young Michael Caine?
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
All right, here we
little
go.
Young Michael Caine. And then he'll do a little young right. Sam Levine.
If you're lucky.
I'm Michael Caine. What ska band did that Michael Caine song? You remember that? Madness, I think it was. Maybe.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah
where every once in
yeah,
a while
yeah,
you just madness. Hear him go, my name is Michael Caine.
Yeah.
And then the song would keep going and have nothing to do with Michael Caine.
Remember it the days when we used to go awesome. See ska bands together back in 95?
Yeah, remember when we went to that Skankin' Pickle show?
What's on the iPhone? Who?
Oh,
who's
I got a
text.
Oh, who is it? Interesting.
Was it Wayne Fetterman? Is he late? That is a callback joke for mm-hmm. listeners of this podcast.
Yeah, or or the people that are here. Some of them tittered.
All right.
So I'd say it's a callback.
Kind
I don't
of enjoyed
how much
it.
Of a joke it is.
Wow.
More callback than joke, but still.
Biting.
But that's the essence of a callback, is just
yes,
referencing
just
something that happened
something.
Before.
You're right. You're apologize.
Accepted.
And so when do you go back to Berlin? Do you have to catch a flight?
And not right now.
Okay.
No, you got me for at least the next 15 minutes.
What kind of answer
minutes.
Is that? Not right now.
Because I said, do you have to catch a flight?
Oh, I see.
I meant that I wanted him to go.
Mm.
No. And how soon do you go?
Within the week, I think.
Oh, okay.
Are you the only one going back, or are the other fellows?
I have no idea. We don't talk.
Mm.
We don't talk.
Do you know if you live or die in the movie? Not on the way back to Berlin. Is Berlin your final destination?
Oh, dear. Final Destination 3D, which opens the same day as Inglourious Bastards, August 21st, 2000.
I thought they already had a Final Destination 3.
But this will be Final Destination 4 3D.
Wow, oh. August.
I did not write or market this film.
That August release date worked out so great for Grindhouse, they decided to try again.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah, I'm mean.
Didn't his his movies used to come out in like October and stuff?
I don't even know when it came out, actually. It might have been August.
No, but I mean, like his successful ones used to come out in October.
Pulp Fiction was in October?
Yes. Reservoir Dogs.
That was an October release?
I believe so.
Wow, what a memory you have for
disinteresting
information. I remember the years.
Is that even a word, disinteresting?
Disinterest is a word.
It is now.
I happen to remember where I was when I saw it, which was very tied to a particular three-month period.
Where were you?
None of your business.
Can I guess?
Okay, go ahead.
Were you in Margaret Cho's vagina?
All right.
You were dating her at the time?
I would no.
Booyah!
That was a few years previous.
Oh, don't cry. You're
take
married
me back.
To a lovely, lovely lady.
That is true.
Who is bringing up three daughters of her own.
Doug, do you have any movies coming out?
No, sir. Wait, I do.
Ooh.
I do, but I forget what it's called now. Let's call it The Painted Forest. It's a movie where this guy filmed various people. I know that Patton went before me because you get to see the person who went before you. You get to see what they said. Mm. He filmed people like Jello Biafra and Patton and me. I don't know who else is in it, but he filmed people telling a chapter of a story where you hear the chapter before yours, but that's the only thing
you
hear.
Have to make up the
and then you
chapter.
Have to make one up on the spot, and then somebody has to make one up after you.
No,
and
wait,
he's also going to film, like, he's actually going to reenact the things that we
that they're
say.
Talking about? Oh, okay.
So we'll be in the movie, but you'll also see actors playing it out. What's it called? Did somebody yell out what it was called?
Or no, someone just yelled out, stupid. Out,
shut up! Hey, it's not my idea. I just agreed to participate.
Who's making this film?
Is Paramount Classics
some guy? You know how it is these days.
Yeah, I do.
You get a message on MySpace, want to be in a movie? Yeah. You know? Then you show up and you do your thing. But Patton went...
get your dick out.
Patton went before me, and I think he had two characters in a boat at the end of his chapter. So in my chapter, I had one of the characters push the other character out of the boat and then not hold the oar out to save them. And so whoever's after me has to decide whether or not that person drowns or not.
That sounds like an exciting chapter.
Yeah. Well, I was just shitting all over Patton's chapter because he was extremely eloquent and Patton-esque. Like it was like he was actually speaking a novel out loud.
Right.
You know, and then it's my turn, and I'm like, die, he pushes her out of the boat.
Bad man.
Patton knows a lot of big words, some that many people don't know, and I think he sneakily uses them in the wrong spots and the wrong way, and everyone's just like, yeah, that sounds right.
Like he reads the calendar definition a day, but he doesn't read the definition. He just
he just picks up awesome words, like he's always using the word yawp, YAWP.
Yeah, Scrabble word.
Yeah, but what does it mean?
Well, yeah, who knows?
He's always like, and then there was a yawp! Mm. Oh, really? What does that mean?
And like a yule.
Yeah, it's exactly... It's time to play the Leonard Maltin game,
is
you guys.
Is it time already?
Fast.
I'm telling you, this time shoots by on this thing.
Wow.
It's not really time
it's
to
not
play.
Really
no,
time.
It's still early.
But it, mm-hmm. Well, it's not
wait,
early.
Hey,
it's early.
What about your Oscar... What about
we always have to rush the Leonard Maltin game. I wanted to let it breathe a little this time.
All right. Oh.
What about your Oscar? What about your Oscar picks? What do
yeah,
you
yeah, we haven't even talked about that.
I don't have... Well, I think... For me, I haven't seen them all yet, but for me, I like Milk the best.
MLK?
Yeah, MLK, if you don't have time with the letter I. If you're lazy. But that was my favorite,
that
but
was
I still
favorite.
I haven't seen Benji Buttons. I haven't seen The Reader.
I like The Reader.
What should I see? What do you think's a contender for best movie that I might not have seen
I would
yet?
Say see The Reader, but don't let anyone sit in front of you because the little boy's balls are usually at the bottom of the screen and you want to...
And you don't like want to you don't want to yeah. like hurt your neck craning
yeah, to get around.
To see child balls.
Yeah.
Like exactly. After the movie, oh, it was great, but I was too hard to see the child balls.
Yeah, exactly.
Is it at the Cinerama Dome? Because I'd like some front row child ball action. Was he over 21 or 18?
No, he was over 18 when he made it.
When he made it, but yeah, he looked how old does he
I believe he had to film those scenes last because he turned 18 and then they filmed those
Oh, that's
scenes.
Right.
So
I
that makes
I,
it
I think
even
I read
like
that as well.
Juicier.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Did you see Towelhead?
No, what is that? Is that your euphemism?
Were there groans from the crowd when he said that?
I think so. I try not to pay attention to the groaning. Yeah.
What the hell?
It happens too often.
Just slow you down.
Why let it bother you? But
what's Towelhead?
What about Towelhead was directed by the American Beauty guy.
Sam Mendes?
Do you mean Reservation Road?
Ball. Alan Ball.
Okay.
Yeah, not Sam Mendes. Yeah, Alan Ball directed it, and it was about a girl in forced to live with her father, her very strict... I forget, what are they, Lebanese or something? But wake up, because if you don't get the right seat, you might miss Child Vagina.
Whoa.
But she was like 20. The girl in it like is supposed to be a teenager in the movie, but she's like 20-something in real life. And I was very excited. I was very excited to find that out for that very reason, because the whole movie I was, you know,
feeling weird.
I was half wood.
Feeling half masked.
Half wood.
It's my favorite HBO series. And then the sequel, Deadwood.
I was
going
to say it was Elijah's childhood nickname, but either way. All right, grown it up at this point.
Have they never heard this podcast?
I just need to put on the record that Doubt was a much better film than I thought it was going to be.
Mm. Here's my problem with Doubt, is I saw the play, loved it, and then I saw the movie, and... Earmuffs if you don't want me to ruin anything. But I prefer ambiguity in a play rather than in a movie. In a movie, I want to walk out going, I know what the fuck happened.
Yeah.
And so that was a little disappointing about Doubt. But that Philip Seymour Hoffman, I love him in anything except for that Schenectady movie. Schenectady, which I'm not going to see.
Yeah,
based
it was
on
okay.
Your,
it was all right.
Based on you
yeah,
saying
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we talked about it.
If you're like, it's all right, I'm not going to go.
Well, I felt like that about everything this year. Everything was just okay.
Yeah, you thought, well, so well, where does Milk stand with the
Milk was great. I really like his performance in Milk.
Sean Penn is so good, it made me like him again.
Yeah. Because he's actually smiling throughout most of the movie, too, which is great.
He's just a charming, sweet fellow in that movie.
He is, but how many people in the audience have seen Milk by round of applause? Okay. Does anyone
How
else
many
feel-
are lactose intolerant?
My next question. Did anyone else feel that him as Harvey Milk, and I don't get me wrong, I think Sean Penn is one of the most brilliant actors of his generation. He was one half step away from being Sam again, from I Am Sam. Anyone else feel that?
Dude, he's just acting gay.
Spoken like that a true Sam with two retarded M's.
Only one of them is retarded, please. Otherwise, I'd just be soft.
You're right. That's right. One of them is perfectly normal.
Perfectly normal. The other M,
what the fuck?
Yeah.
But
all right, what do we got? What are you doing?
I'm trying to find a movie to play with you guys for the Leonard Maltin game.
Whilst continuing the
I don't want to be accused of cheating here.
Yeah, don't cheat, you guys. Whatever thing. You do.
All right.
Because there's no prizes.
So would you say Milk
doesn't matter if you cheat.
Would you say Milk is your favorite of the year?
Of the ones I've seen thus far.
No, it's not. I know your favorite movie of the year is
Well, my favorite movie, absolute favorite, is Dark Knight.
That's correct.
But amongst things that legitimately have a chance of winning Best Picture, I'd say Milk. And another movie I love this last year, if you haven't seen it yet, is In Bruges.
Yeah, I saw that about a week ago.
That's good. Just got some golf applause in the audience. Got some very polite enthusiasm. And I also like The Visitor.
Yeah, that was really good.
And
yeah.
Richard Jenkins will officially be robbed when he's not nominated for Best Actor. That's an amazing performance. Because it's one of those movies where he changes during the course of the movie, and believably.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because normally people don't change that much over 90 minutes or whatever. All right, I'm going to pick out a good one for you. On the Leonard Maltin game. Is there anything else? Any things you guys want to plug or anything? If you're in Berlin in the next few weeks.
Yeah, if you're back in Berlin.
Look up Sam and have a stein of beer.
We'll go out to Tarantino's Bar, which is a real bar that exists in Berlin and has been there for 4 years and is a shrine to Quentin Tarantino. And when Quentin and company rolled in there on a Friday night and the owners had no idea, let me tell you, that was a hoot.
Oh, my God. They must have went apeshit.
They kind of lost it.
Remember that time you and I walked into Levine's?
I do. Although, I have to be honest with you, Doug, that was just my mom's house. I was kind of pulling
She's got
over
it set up
you.
Nice. It seemed like a real bar.
Yeah.
She's got all the items. Yeah. I mean, we're talking umbrellas in the drinks.
Yeah.
Full-size umbrellas, of course.
Of course.
She's making up for my diminutive stature.
I should get a newer version of this book because Not Another Teen Movie isn't even in here.
That can't be accurate.
That's what I was going to do. I was going to do Not Another Teen Movie just to see how fast you recognize your own movie.
I would have probably gotten it on the first or
I was watching it on cable the other night. It was on late night on Comedy Central, so they left in every time somebody said fuck or pussy.
Yeah.
But they blurred out that girl's tits that show up throughout the movie.
Yeah.
What is that about? That is the most puritanical bullshit I've ever heard. All right, here we go. This is from 1987. I know, you were only two, Sam.
How dare you?
Terry Funk was in this movie.
Oh.
Mm.
Chris McCarty.
Oh.
Mm.
David Mendenhall. That's not a bad clue. David Mendenhall.
No, it's all not right. A good clue.
There's no way you're going to get this. I'm going to probably say every name, and you're still going to be like,
87.
Rick Zumwalt.
Is it Masters of the Universe?
No, but good guess.
Thanks.
Susan Blakely? Robert Loggia?
Whoa. Okay. Loge. Now we're getting somewhere.
The Loge. And then it's the last name. This is the star of the movie.
Oh,
Robert Loggia, and the star of the movie is...
The star of the movie is Mr. Sylvester Stallone.
Stallone and Loge?
Stallone and Loge. 87.
And Mendenhall played his kid.
Over the top.
Bam! Levine takes it. Here, if you can find one and play it fast. We've got time for maybe one more.
Wow. Ooh, over the top.
Oof.
That's the best strategy.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah, when you're arm wrestling on a cocktail table in a professional arm wrestling venue, to win, just go over the top.
Yeah, that's all you got to do.
If he wasn't dead, Burgess Meredith would have been screaming in his ear, over the top! Rock! Over the top!
If he wasn't,
do your Michael Caine again.
If he wasn't dead... If he wasn't dead in the Rocky movies, or dead as...
Yeah, he died in the Rocky movies, so he couldn't train him in Over the Top. That would truly be Over the Top. That wouldn't make any sense at all.
That would be great if he just traveled from film to film in the Stalloniverse.
And what do you think Len Maltin gave it on a scale of 1 to 4 stars?
Over the top.
1 to 5.
All right, I got...
Bomb. I love it when he just calls a movie Bomb.
Are you fellas ready for this one?
It's got to make people feel good.
You're going to like it.
Okay.
Okay, the year was 1996.
Go. Let's look at each other.
All right.
Stare down.
Kate Burton.
96.
Was in this
film. Kate Burton was in it.
Yeah.
Kate Burton?
Deborah Monk was in this film. Yeah. James Naughton was in this
I always
film.
Get him confused with David Naughton.
Yeah. Here we go. Here come some of the big guns. Rob Reiner was in this film.
Wait. What year?
96.
I can name that movie in two more names.
I would bet you can. You might be able to name it after this next name.
Fucking
Philip
Rob
Bosco.
Who'd you say?
Bosco is in
Philip
it.
Philip Bosco.
Who?
The chocolate drink.
The chocolate drink we named Philip.
Philip Bosco.
Eileen Heckert.
Oh, maybe I can't get it in two more names.
Okay. I'll give you three. Here we go. Jennifer Dundas.
Oh, whoa, 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 whoa! Shitcock, shitcock. Do you know who Jenny Dundas is?
No, who's that? Who is she?
She's an actress.
What has she been
it's
in?
It's not a dude.
What has she been in 1996?
She was in, when she was a little girl, she played Seth Green's brother or sister and Jodie Foster's also sibling in that House in the New Hampshire movie, based on the book by what's his name?
Wow, you really make something come to life.
The guy who wrote Garp, Irving.
Oh, yeah, Hotel New Hampshire.
Yeah, that's it, Hotel New Hampshire. Okay, keep going.
All right, here we go. This is a biggie. God, we're on some Pincho.
All right, here
Pincho
we go.
Pincho is in it.
Pincho.
Pinchy.
Oh, the Pinch.
Bronson Pincher.
Yeah.
You think you know it? It's not Beverly Hills Cop.
I was going to say 3. Beverly Hills Cop 3.
Rob Reiner wasn't in that.
Maybe he wanted to add a little credibility.
Okay, go. More names.
All right. Here we go. Marcia Gay Harden. Okay, this is the giveaway to me.
Okay.
Elizabeth Berkley.
Oh. She was in the movie?
Mm-hmm. No? Should I keep going?
Wait, no.
That was after Showgirls, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm, that's right. Showgirls was 95.
Elizabeth Burke. Oh, is a Woody Allen film celebrity.
Oh, celebrity?
No.
Oh, Woody Allen husband and wives?
No.
Remember.
Shit. Alice?
What was that one she was in?
No.
The golden opportunity.
Curse of the Jade Scorpion?
No.
What's that one that Amira Sorvino's in?
Yeah. Right, Mighty Aphrodite? Maddie Aphrodite? Okay,
no,
more names.
There's more names. Here we go.
All right. It might not even be a Woody Allen movie.
Stephen Collins. Victor Garber.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay, here we are. We're going to start
for
with
milk?
The big guns.
These
here are the real
big
guns. Right. Sarah Jessica
Parker.
Yeah,
he was in Milk.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
SJP. Oh.
There was a gasp from the audience when I said Sarah Jessica Parker.
There was a gasp. Don't yell it out.
I won't.
No, the audience. I'm not talking to you.
Well, Jesus.
Sam, don't yell out the answer.
I want to yell it out so bad, Doug.
Play the game right.
Flying solo.
Faster.
Stockard Channing.
Stockard's Way.
Ooh.
Wow.
This movie's ridiculous. Rob Reiner did too many cameos.
This is ridiculous.
Okay.
All right, Dan Hedaya.
Whoa.
And it's not Clueless.
Somebody just went gasping.
Is it,
gasping.
That one where...
Someone is a big Blood Simple fan, right over there.
Is it the one where Nicole Kidman kills her husband, Matt Dillon?
Oh, no. To Die For?
No.
Okay, that's the only movie I know Dan Hedaya.
All right.
We got to go.
Maggie Smith.
This is the longest episode yet, officially.
Maggie Smith. No? Here we go.
Oh, I'm going to guess Harry Potter and the Goblet of...
No. Here we go. This is it. Diane Keaton.
What the fuck is this shit? Is it a baby something?
Nope. You need another one? How about Bette Midler? What does she do for you?
Oh, God damn it. Oh, something... And is Goldie Hawn the other name?
She sure is.
Fucking
that's the
shit.
Last one.
What's that piece of shit movie called? Something Wives Club.
First Wives Club.
There it is!
I win!
In your face, Doug.
Sam Levine, Scott Aukerman, thanks for listening. Willem Dafoe's a shithead.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.